And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Preview of Jaden Daniels' first NFL football game. All right, let's get into it, Logan. This Tampa defense is super interesting. It is one heck of a challenge for Jaden Daniels and for Cliff Kingsbury's return to the NFL. I was watching a bunch of their pressures this morning, and oh my God, they are coming from everywhere. Todd Bowles been around a long time. He's got a lot of creativity, and the way they deploy their personnel is super interesting. When you watch them defensively, and if you put your Cliff Kingsbury bucket hat on and try to prepare Jaden Daniels for this game, what's your top line item that you got to get him ready for?
Yeah, I think it's just understanding who Todd Bowles is. And again, like, it's really interesting because you're coming off, you know, this preseason, offseason where you haven't really showed anything. And one of the things about Todd Bowles, at least in reputation, I think it shows up on film too, to be fair, is that he does like to game plan his pressures. So he's going to, you know, understand kind of how you call your slides. And what I mean by slide is, like, if we're in a four-man front, like, where's the center going? And then if the center's going left, like, and I bring a third rusher to the right, like, does the back pick him up? Or do we have a tight end? Or is there a hot answer? And so he does a really good job, kind of like Wink Martindale. Again, the volume's not quite as high as Wink Martindale, but they do a good job of scheming up pressures and bringing different patterns. So each week you're kind of like, what are we going to see? Like, what's going to happen? And I think that can be really, really challenging. And it's so, especially for a young player, because it's not only the pattern of the blitz, but it's also who is not blitzing. So, like, there was a couple, I forget what game I was watching, maybe Minnesota was the first game last year. They're bringing, like, a third down pressure, and it's like a pseudo cross dog where the two guys cross inside, but they're doing it to the weak side, so a little bit spicy, but nothing crazy. But the 3-4 linebackers are dropping into coverage. And most 3-4 linebackers just kind of drop into coverage, and it's like they're just literally like a pylon at a spot, and they're not really covering anything. But obviously they coach those guys because they're trying to relate to receivers, which is very, very hard to do for those guys. But the fact that they're coaching that, I think, shows like what he's thinking about, because they live in it. They live in these pressure packages. They want these guys dropping out to be super effective. And obviously they have really good blitzers, like Lavonte David's a great blitzer. Antoine Winfield Jr. is a great blitzer. Obviously Devin White was maybe the best blitzing linebacker in the NFL last year, or at least one of the most prolific, not there anymore. But it's part of who they are culturally. And so on third down, if it's third and I'd say six plus, you're going to get something spicy. And so if you're Jaden Daniels, like, understand that. Understand who the opponent is. Understand, if you can, like, where the rotation is as best as possible, and try to understand where your best matchup is. It's going to be harder. Like, one of the things he did such a great job in the preseason of is identifying, hey, it's man coverage. I like this man matchup. Let me hit it there. Or it's zone. Let me work the zone side. But obviously in that Miami game, when there was a little bit more in, he had a mistake. And it's one mistake on 14, you know, whatever play, 25 plays, whatever he had in the preseason. So I'm not saying that, like, that's going to characterize this game. But what are the tools that Cliff is providing for him to dissect the coverage? What are the tools Cliff has installed to help the offense pick up some of these pressures and help Jaden Daniels understand where the hot is? To me, that is the crux of the game, is how do we stay out of crazy third long situations where we're going to get a ton of heat? And then when we're in those, how do I help this young player, if I'm Cliff, maximize these opportunities?
Yeah, I think watching their pressures was so fascinating because they make it I won't say they make it impossible to identify the known rushers, but they move them around more than maybe any defense I've ever watched. And like, what happens a lot of times for 3-4 base teams, which they are, is, okay, now we're in nickel, now we're just going to go four down. That's how the Commanders used to play it back when they were in 3-4 back in the day with like Kerrigan and Preston Smith. Is like, the second they went to nickel, they just became a four down front, and it was like a 4-2-5 situation, right? What Tampa does more often than not is they'll be like, okay, we're going to keep our standing outside linebackers, and we're going to have two guys down, and it'll be Vita Vea and whoever else, and probably now Kalijah Kancey. You know, those will be our two down guys, and then we're going to keep standing linebackers. And, oh, by the way, here's this, or like, you know, rush ends, right, edges, but they're standing. And now we're going to also bring this safety down in the box, and he might be coming, or he might bail out, or this linebacker might be coming, he might bail out. Or we might go three down, and you know, but the guy who's lined up in the where a three technique should be, he's the guy who's standing. Yeah. And so it just is really, really challenging to identify who's coming from where. They move it around. Sometimes they do that with like simulated looks, again, where it's just four guys come in. Sometimes they do it with five or six. and it's fairly unpredictable. They'll rush on first down. They'll rush on second. Like, I literally sorted their pressures on NFL Pro, and it was like, I just scrolled down the list of plays to see what the down and distances were. Yeah. The amount of times they blitz on first and 10 is crazy.
They do blitz a lot. So they blitz a lot on third down, but they do bring a lot of like run stopping pressures on first down. Like, that showed up a lot, and I was a little surprised by that. Because it's like, that doesn't, you always think of blitzing on third down. But, you know, what I was talking to somebody, and they were like, the number one thing that Todd Bowles is trying to do is stop the run. And so, you know, if you feel like you can't do it with your front, which is tough, it's tough to stop the runs in the NFL if you don't have movement in the front, like, I'm going to bring pressure. So I was a little surprised watching that last year. Because again, you think about, you know, Vita Vea, like, you know, Levante David, like, those guys are, you know, beasts in the interior of the defense. But they're four eyes, so like they're kind of more like defensive, like nose guard type bodies, but they line up over the tackles in a three down spacing. So you got someone over the center, you got someone over the tackles. Their four techniques are Kalijah Kansey, who's like 280 pounds, and Logan Hall, who is a skinny guy. He's like 290 pounds, but he's like 6'7". And they are a little bit more dynamic athletically, and they kind of remind me of like Philadelphia when we used to play them in 2000. I want to say like 11 to 14. They played a three down front, but they had all these kind of smaller bodies, and they would move them around a ton, and it made it really hard to create combinations. And I think you see a little bit of that, not that influence, but that kind of stylistically, where, hey, I'm Logan Hall on the backside of a run, the guard pulls, I'm going to shoot the gap, which a four eye never does. It's almost like they're playing like a three technique. So I think from a personnel standpoint, that blitzing on first down, to me, makes a little bit more sense, because I want Kalijah Kansey on the move, because he is rattlesnake quick, man. He is insane out there. So, and then again, Logan Hall moves around pretty well. They're not maybe the best four eyes I've ever seen play, but they are more playmakers than you would expect. And you couple that with Vita Vea and his power on the interior, like, it's a pretty formidable group. And if you think about it, like, Vita Vea is a first round pick, Kalijah Kansey is a first round pick, Logan Hall is a first round pick. The off rush end number 9 for them is a first round pick. Like, go down the list, you know, Yaya Diaby is a fourth round pick. Like, they have a ton invested in their front. Feels very similar to kind of Washington when, you know, Montez and Chase and Duron were all here, because like they've got some juice up there. And so that's really the thing that drives the defense, in my opinion. Some people might say the safeties, but I think it makes a lot of sense that he's bringing this type of pressure on first down. Because it lets those guys move around a little bit and be a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be really interesting. And again, they identify, this is why they brought Tyler Biadasz in, right? Is because they wanted that veteran center to try to match up with a rookie quarterback who just doesn't have the file yet, even if he's an excellent processor of information. And he's got override ability and all that kind of stuff. And I think as the year goes, we'll see Jaden take more and more command over time. But there's a reason that they wanted, again, not just Biadasz, but we talked about this with the roster construction. Like, did Michael Dieter necessarily have the greatest camp and nail down his spot on the team with his play? No, but I think they wanted a veteran backup just in case something happens to Biadasz, to know that they have another veteran in the building for Jaden Daniels. And so then the question becomes, if you're Cliff Kingsbury, how do you use some of that speed, you know, all that kind of stuff, that aggressive, hey, we'll shoot the gap against you. I think, you know, can you get some good looks with some RPO or some read option? That seems to like it should be on the table. And then obviously you get into the actual pass concepts, Logan. And what do you think is on the table? Or is it more of a run heavy game plan? Is this a big Brian Robinson day? I just took him in the Hoffman Show Fantasy League, so I certainly hope every Sunday is a big Brian Robinson day. But how do you think they kind of, what's the linchpin of the attack? I'll ask it that way. What's the linchpin of the attack this week for how you would attack a Todd Bowles defense with all these moving parts that we've discussed?
Yeah, so I think the thing is, like, when you're bringing pressure the way Todd Bowles does on first down and on third down, like, his kind of, I think his base coverage structure is probably like a cover two or something like that, but they're never in it because they're blitzing so much. So what you see is, you see like a three deep, so like traditional cover three, like corners are deep, safeties deep. And then you see some form of three underneath. And so when you think about it from a coverage standpoint, it's just simple math, right? If I have three underneath coverage players, like, I can't cover as much grass. So there tends to be really huge throwing windows in the middle level of the defense. Obviously, you don't want to get too deep in there, but in the middle level of defense, like on digs and hitches and kind of these spot routes that are a little bit deeper in there, there's a ton of grass. So if you feel like you can pick up the pressure, I'd sling the rock a little bit, man. Like, I would throw it a little bit. Now, how confident are you that you can do that? I have no idea. And so one of the things they've talked about, or Dan's talked about from the jump, is playing complementary football. And people talk about, like, what does that mean? And so let's kind of peel that back a little bit. If I'm playing complementary football and I'm an offense, I need to get first downs. I need to chew a little bit of clock, right? Because we're kind of relying on the defense to support us offensively. And offensively, we're supporting the defense. So if we go down and we go three and out real quick, we're not playing complementary football because we're letting the defense out on the field for way too long. If I score too quickly in some cases, I'm not playing complementary football. So I think you'll see them run the ball a lot, but I think you're going to see it from spread formations. Because you talked about how they still kind of play their 3-4 versus nickel. They do, but I think if you kind of play your cards right, you can get them in a four-down structure, which I just watching them, it doesn't feel like they want to be in that. And just from a number standpoint, it feels better for us. So let's say we've got five offensive linemen and B-Rob, we're in a spread formation. If they lead six in the box, and we've got, you know, overhang players like these kind of slot receivers, and they have six in there, that means one of those dudes is open. So let's run a little RPO. Let's run a little zone read. Let's put those guys in conflict on first and second down. And then if they're going to bring pressure on third down, let's make sure we got a rock solid plan to pick this sucker up, whether that's leaving a tight end in, bring it back in. Like, we can pick it up. And I think we've seen over the course of, you know, Ron Rivera's tenure here, when this team has played Todd Bowles defenses, like, they've, like Scott Turner, to his credit, had great plans for the blitz. And Taylor Heinicke is able to dice them up in a playoff game and in their regular season game when they were throwing for touchdowns and stuff. So I think if you have a plan, that's how it's going to work. But I do think you need to run the football, again, to possess the ball a little bit, slow the game down, take some pressure off of Jaden Daniels. And so for those big moments where it's like, hey, third and five, we got to have it, he feels comfortable and confident to make that play.
Yeah, one skill that, you know, is never going to show up on a quarterback stat line, but is super duper important on a very fundamental baseline level, is do you properly target your runs, right? And obviously Biotish might be the guy who's doing that, but it specifically against a team that blitzes a lot, are you running into the blitz or are you running away from the blitz?
Yeah.
Because if you run away from the blitz, well, they're taking multiple defenders out of the play because they're trying to, you know, the way they're going to run is they're going to run at the quarterback and basically take themselves out of where the running back is headed. If you run into the blitz, well, then you're obviously got multiple extra defenders that you're not accounting for in the blocking structure. And so, long story short, Logan.
1 second. There's a nerdy. This is really nerdy. So sorry, this might be too nerdy for this podcast. But when you
there's no such thing as too nerdy for this podcast.
So when you're blitzing on first and second down, you're going to create movement, right? So like, if I'm blitzing to the offensive right, the defensive line hypothetically should stunt to the left because we need to now account for the gaps that we're adding to the front side of this run. So some people say, oh, I want to run away from the pressure, but oftentimes it's harder to run that way because the line is stunting that way. So what they like to do usually is say, hey, I'm going to attack the blitz and catch them out of the stunt, kick out the blitzer hypothetically. Let's just say they're bringing like a Sam, like just one, and they're stunting everybody else. I can kick that guy out and we can catch them in the stunt and we can get up to the second level easier. So I think that's definitely an interesting kind of, if you want some nerdy football stuff to watch, is like,
yeah,
what do they do with the pressure? Are they running at it? Are they running away from it? Are they checking out of stuff? Do they want to throw the ball? Like, that's the layers that I think we're going to be seeing from Cliff and this offensive staff.
It's the chess game. Right. And, yeah. My point was that, like, it's super important for Jaden to be able to correctly, and be honest, to correctly identify who's coming and then understand, is Tampa a team that is going to do what you just said? Is it, or are they not actually that good at that? Or do they, whether it's plan wise or execution wise, like where should you be sending the run? Which is often, I don't know how this offense works specifically. I don't know if you know how this offense works specifically, how much flexibility they have to make sure that we can just flip the run right, left, depending on what we see at the line of scrimmage. I know in Kyle's offense, we've talked about that quite a bit, like how you guys would go to the line of scrimmage with two runs, and then if both of them kind of sucked based off the look, it's like, screw it, let's have a third play in there.
Just
that's a pass.
Your brain.
Let's have a Charles Dickens novel of a play call. But for Cliff, like, is that something that's in the ability to try to get in the right run, if that's a way that they're going to counter the blitz?
Yeah, I think, you know, just watching, I mean, when you watch practice, I know they're kind of in this like hurry up, no huddle, a big percentage of the time, but it just seems when you watch like training camp practice, even the open practices, that they do have a lot of flexibility at the line. Now, I don't know what that flexibility looked like. It seems very unlikely to me that they would have two plays called. It seems like what they would do, and this is pure speculation just based on like their language and how they do it at the line of scrimmage, is it seems like they're coaching to a look. So what I mean by that is like they'll install a play, for example. Let's say it's, I don't know, at a 21 personnel with B Rob and Austin in the backfield. Like if we get a 6-man pressure or a 5-man pressure on first down, I want you to check to this run or this screen. And we're not calling it, but like when we get up there and you see it, like this is the home run look. So let's just check to the play. I don't need to call it right. Every time because
it's,
I want you to.
It's what Jaden did in the preseason when he wasn't supposed to because, right. You know, that wasn't technically, like it was the right thing. It was just like, hey man, we're not doing that in the preseason. But yeah. He saw the look and he went for it and he hits Diami for 40 yards up the sideline.
Or it's like, I think another great example is the Sam Hartman in the third quarter of that same game when they get zero and they run speed option. Like that's a great call. I know they did not have speed option. It wasn't like stick and speed option. No, it was like, oh, this is zero. I can call speed option if I want. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like, it's not structured the same way Kyle is, where it's like, here's five plays that we're all calling in the huddle. You got to remember them and we're going to check to them. It's like, no. It's like, if we get the home run, if we get the look we're looking for, check to this and we're going to run it. So I think that's kind of where I would say that, to your point, the Jaden Daniels like awareness of what is happening is going to be super important. And I think that could be challenging this week because we haven't seen any of those looks on film. Because like we just talked about, there are certain core tenets that Todd Bowles is going to abide by. But I do think that you're going to see some novel stuff from him also. And so like, how do you put those home run looks in when you don't know exactly what he's going to be doing, especially week one? Like defensive coordinators change. They add wrinkles. They're different coming out of the offseason. So I think that to me is another really compelling thing too for Joe Witt Jr. and Jaden Daniels and Cliff Kingsbury. It's like there's this novelty of what's going to be seen. Like you could go back and watch all the film in the world, but you don't know how he's going to play this offense. Because I tried to go back and I was like, when was the last time this team played? And I like, you know, I couldn't figure it out because you're like, was Todd Bowles there? Actually, Bruce Arians was the coach. Like, you know what I'm saying? So right. It gets a little bit dicey, but I do think that to me is going to be really interesting, is how they get into those check looks, if you will.
Yeah. Counterpoint, way to simplify a defense, tempo. And that is something that this team uses. So I think that's going to be an interesting part of the chess match as well, is how does the tempo, you know, because that is one thing we talk about, like the principles of a coordinator, right? There's certain stuff that Todd Bowles is going to change. I doubt that how Todd Bowles reacts, if he has certain things he's been doing for a decade to 3-by-1 or, you know, to tempo, like we're defaulting to this call. Like tempo is a great equalizer to simplify a defense. And so I do wonder how much Cliff is going to rely on that, because again, with the complementary football element, tempo can run counter to that. You go fast and it doesn't work. Well, now you've gone three and out quickly, and that's Dan Quinn is going to be like, all right, we probably should huddle up and slow things down a little bit. So I like that is the game management aspect is fascinating. And this, you know, this is why I think we've captured in this pod maybe more than anyone we've ever have, like the chess match and like if this, then that. Well, okay, if that, then this. Yeah. That happens literally every single week in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, you try to prep your way through it and say like, oh, this is kind of like, but ultimately you don't know. So I think, you know, obviously it's going to be harder for Joe Witt Jr. this week, I think, because it's a totally new offensive staff. They're going to try and abide by the same offensive system as they did last year. At least that's what I've been reading in Tampa Bay. But it's going to be new, you know, and then Jaden Daniels, it's going to be new. And like, what does Todd Bowles do? Like, maybe it's like, hey, we're not going to blitz you at all. And we've put all of these blitz beating concepts in. And so then our offense gets really tight. Or maybe the tempo, maybe they check to something in tempo that we're not expecting. And then our tempo stuff doesn't look good. Like there's teams that tell, oh, you're going to go tempo? Let's go zero. Good luck getting the ball out. You know what I'm saying? Like, and then it's like, oh, well, do we feel comfortable about our tempo stuff now or what? So right. I just think like that, that's why this game to me is so fun. That's why the first game's always fun. It's always a little bit of a crapshoot. Like, are we in the right stuff? But that's why I'm so excited to watch this football game.
For sure.